connected to it. Perhaps it was truly the case that the existence of the sixth ship was only known about on the Santiago, a secret worth keeping, in other words. "Of course," said the propulsion theorist, "it could all be a trick."
"But why would anyone want to send us harmful information?" asked Zamudio, the commander of the host ship. "Whatever happens to us won't make any difference to anyone back home, so why try and hurt us?"
"The same argument applies to any beneficial data," said Omdurman. "There's no reason for them to send that either, except common human decency."
"Damn human decency! Damn it to hell!" Balcazar said.
Sky spoke up at that point, raising his voice above that of the captain. "I can think of arguments either way, actually." They looked at him patiently as one might humor a child attempting to tell a joke. Hardly anyone in the room must have known who he was, beyond the fact that he was supposedly Titus Hausmann's son. It suited him perfectly well. Being underestimated was a highly satisfactory state of affairs. He continued, "The organization that launched the flotilla might still exist in some shape and form back home, perhaps clandestinely. They'd still have an interest in helping us on our way, if only to ensure that their earlier efforts weren't wasted. We might still be the only interstellar expedition underway, don't forget that. We might still be the only hope anyone has of reaching another star." Omdurman stroked his bearded chin. "I suppose that's possible. We're like a great mosque being built, a project that will take hundreds of years and which no one will see in its entirety."
"Damn them! Damn them all!"
Omdurman faltered, but pretended not to have heard. Yet those who know they'll die before the end is reached can still feel some satisfaction at having contributed something to the whole, even if it's only the tiniest chip in the least significant pattern. The trouble is, we know precious little about what's really happened back home. Zamudio smiled. "And even if they did send more thorough news updates, we still wouldn't know how much to trust them."
"Back to square one, in other words," said Armesto from the Brasilia. He was the youngest of the captains, not much older than Sky.
Sky studied him carefully, taking the outline of a possible enemy, one that might not assume definition until years or decades hence. "Equally, I can think of reasons they might want to kill us," Sky said. He turned to Balcazar. "With your permission, of course." The captain's head jolted up, as if he had been on the point of sleep.
"Go ahead, Titus, dear boy.
Suppose we're not the only game in town." Sky leaned forward, his elbows hard against the mahogany. "It's a century since we left home. There may be faster ships on the drawing board now. Maybe even on their way. Maybe there are factions that want to stop us reaching Swan so they can claim it for themselves. Granted, they could always fight us for it, but we're four large ships, and we do have nuclear armaments." The devices he was talking about had been put aboard for landscape engineering when they reached Journey's End, blasting mountain passes, or scooping out natural harbors, but they were perfectly capable of being used as weapons. "We wouldn't be a pushover. From their point of view, it would be a lot simpler to persuade us to destroy ourselves." "So what you're saying is, there are equally strong reasons for trusting the message as not trusting it?"
"Yes. And the same argument applies to the second one, the one warning us from adopting the modifications."
The propulsion theorist coughed.
"He's right. All we can do is assess the technical content of the message for ourselves."
"That won't be easy."
"Then we take a massive risk."
So it had gone on, arguments for and against trust.